From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Chris Faulkner reading So Many Kingdoms by Jean Williams. Now let's begin with Book One. To Make a Killing. The sun, the moon, and the stars would have disappeared long ago had they been within reach of predatory humans. Havelock Ellis. Chapter 1. Marilla held the dead child. She knew it was a dream, but she could not wake up or look away from the thin, heart-shaped face, shriveled like wind-blasted fruit. The great, staring eyes were green. And strangely, in the dream, the child seemed to be a young Caterina, Marilla's own mother, though Caterina dos Santos, darling of some of Brazil's richest and most influential men, had most certainly neither died nor strayed in the drought-starved backlands where she had been born. Green eyes showed that somewhere in this little girl's family, a red mother had quickened with a white man's seed. She was Cabocla, that mix of Indian with Portuguese or other white fortune seekers, with often a strain from Africans brought to replace the Indian slaves who died too easily on the vast sugar plantations of the 16th and 17th centuries, the gold and diamond mines of the 18th and 19th. Of the families whose forebears had come to Brazil over 400 years ago, even the palest and most aristocratic were sure to have, from far back, Indian or African blood, and often both. But that gave them no feeling of kinship with children, like the one into whom Marilla, now in her dream, as in life 3 years before, vainly tried to breathe life. Janos, Marilla's husband, wrenched the pitiful huddle away from her, and he tossed it on an awful pile, which took on distorted, broken shapes of women, men, and children whose mouths, eyes, and desperate fingers were full of dust from seared croplands and cattle ranges. Some were not quite dead. They stretched out pleading hands. Flageletos, the scourged ones. For centuries these folk of the parched northeastern backlands had flocked to any crazed mystic who promised a better life. They yearned for a messiah to ease their burdens, gone anywhere in the hope of work. The Amazon rubber hells, the golden slime of cacao plantations, the slums of cities. They starved by the thousands. Countless Nordestino babies died in their first year, and many survivors were stunted in both body and brain. Janos, the handsome, masterful husband Marilla had worshipped since he had begun courting her when she was 16, and whom she'd married at 18, frowned at the stains on her clothes.
Take a shower and change your clothes, darling. You cannot go mucking around in these garbage heaps.
He tried to drag her away from the baby girl. And struggling away from him, Marilla woke, a splintered pain vibrating through her head, and she was bathed in icy sweat. During her 4 years of marriage, mostly spent in Janos's elegant Sao Paulo mansion or in his townhouse facing Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro, she had been insulated, whisked around by limousines to go visiting or shopping. But on her first trip to Janos's vast holdings in the Sataro or backlands of the Bahia, she asked for a horse, and she went exploring. She stopped at the vaquero's hut and found the starved child. She recalled grimly how she had carried the little girl to Janos, sure that if he saw, if he understood, he could not go ahead with what he had come to do, which was evict 20 of these families from their small tenant ranches so he could put in foreign-financed irrigation to raise luxury crops for export to Europe. He had forcibly taken the child from her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?